Good morning. I just want to see if you are wide awake. Yeah, good. Thank you for the response, and the peace of Christ be with you. Happy to join you in worshiping the Lord again. When I got ready to come to your church, I checked my planner. The last time I joined you was almost a year and a half ago. It was that long. And I think at that time, Pastor Bill just joined the church, right? Yeah, you've been here for a year and a half now, right? Yeah, and so how time flies. And I want to thank the worship team for leading us in worship. The songs that we sang really are part of the sermon, the message that I'm going to share with you today. And so, you know, they have done half of the job, and I'm going to do the remaining half. And so maybe we can leave half an hour earlier today. And maybe that's what you wish. Anyway, as I said, how time flies. It's hard to believe we are into the second half of 2019 already. I trust everything has been well with you so far this year. If it's not, if life has been tough for you even as we speak, I'm sorry to hear that. I pray that you won't lose heart, you won't get discouraged so easily. Your Savior and Lord, Jesus, knows what you are going through, and he is able to sympathize with you. In fact, he is able to empathize with you. He wants to deal with your hard times together with you. He knows how to help you. And he says to you, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Lean on him, and he will carry you through. I hope you know, and I hope you believe, that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is not only about life in the future, but also about life at present. Eternal life in Jesus Christ begins here, right here, and now on earth. New life in Christ isn't always smooth sailing, but is often filled with challenges and obstacles like sin, temptation, job dissatisfaction, failing grades in school, career path, making ends meet, broken relationship, parenting, taking care of the elderly. Maybe, you know, you haven't arrived at that stage yet, but your mom and dad, you know, they need to look after your grandparents. And maybe there are health issues, etc., etc. If your Christian life has always been trouble-free, good for you. I'm happy for you. But I'm afraid you may not have really lived your new life in Christ to the full. In fact, the Bible teaches that is by overcoming obstacles or by prevailing over struggles that we come to know who Jesus Christ is and what he is able to do for us through the working of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus Christ asked the Father to send us the Holy Spirit to enable us to live out the fullness of our new life in him. Jesus Christ's gospel is the full gospel that touches the body, mind, and spirit. Now, no matter how our life is, smooth sailing or tough, we need to take stock of our relationship with Jesus Christ regularly. And so, how's your relationship with Jesus Christ at this moment? Is it vibrant or sluggish? In Colossians 2, the Apostle Paul shows us what a healthy, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ looks like. And just now, Grace read the passages for us. I hope I know how to operate this. Good. I want to read to you again. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Now, even though I'm preaching on Colossians, and even though, you know, you have been doing a series on 1 Peter, I just heard, and yet I noticed the theme for this year in your church is doing life together. And so I hope that what I'm going to share with you is still relevant to your theme, is still relevant to what you are going through in your study with Pastor Bill or other pastors. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Colossian Christians when he was in prison in Rome for the sake of the gospel. He had never visited the Colossian church, but was seriously concerned with the church, about the church, when Epaphras, the founder of the church, told him about the heresy that had infiltrated the congregation. Now, some false teachers attempted to combine elements of paganism or secular philosophy with the teaching about Jesus Christ, about his salvation. They tried to mislead the congregation. And so Paul wrote a letter to the church to tackle their false teaching. Now, first, Paul states unequivocally at the beginning of his letter the foundational convictions about Jesus Christ. If you study chapter 1, then you find all this: Christ's supremacy, Christ's death, and Christ's resurrection. Paul wants to counter right off the bat the distorted notion of Christ taught by these false teachers. And then he proves false the erroneous teaching with the correct doctrine one by one. A good part of Colossians chapter 2 is about this rebuttal and about his correction. Now, this morning, we'll focus on Paul's instruction in verses 6 and 7 about living our lives in Christ. Now, Paul begins verse 6 with two words: "So then." Now, this connective phrase concludes what has been taught, what has been said before. That is, Christ is indeed fully divine and fully human. He has indeed died and been resurrected for the Colossians. And the Colossians are indeed in Christ Jesus. Indeed, they are enjoying new life in Christ Jesus. They don't need anything else to get saved. They don't need anything else to have this forgiveness of sin. They don't need anything else to enter into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, "so then" also introduces the idea of how the Colossians are to live their lives in Christ. Paul reminds them, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord." Now, this saying is significant. Don't look down on this saying. This saying is significant. Paul doesn't say, "Receive Christ Jesus as Savior." The emphasis in our day is to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. But the emphasis in the Bible is always to receive Christ as the Lord. Let me give you some interesting statistics about these two words, Savior and Lord. The word Savior occurs only twice in the entire book of the Acts of the Apostles. On the other hand, it's amazing to notice that the title Lord is mentioned 92 times. Lord Jesus, 13 times. And the Lord Jesus Christ, 6 times in the same book. Now, the quantitative difference in the use of these two titles cannot be more obvious. And so, the difference in emphasis. Savior saves. Lord rules. We receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But many Christians want Jesus as their Savior. only, not as their Lord. And for them, Jesus is merely a life insurance, a ticket to heaven. And meanwhile, they are their own boss. They are their own boss in every aspect in their daily life here on earth. And what about you? Do you receive Jesus Christ as Savior? Or do you receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Is Jesus Christ the King and Lord of your personal life, family life, school life, work life, social life, love life, or retirement life? Now, recently, I was talking with a friend of mine, a Caucasian friend. Somebody told me, she told me, about a leader in her church. The leader is living with her boyfriend away from home. And still she serves in the church. And she thinks nothing wrong with it. Her conduct makes me wonder, who is really the Lord of her life? Christ or herself? And a lot of times, young people in this day and age, whether it's Caucasians, whether it's millennials or Chinese or whoever, often like to travel together, right? A man and a woman, a teenager, you know, male and female. Sometimes I wonder, when people do that, when Christians do that, they place themselves in temptation. They place themselves, you know, in the grasp of Satan. Now, Paul commands the Colossian Christians, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. The verb live is walk in the original language. It's in present tense, signifying a continued action. And that's why the NIV translates it as continue to live. Walking speaks of moving in a certain direction, whether forward or backward or sideways. Walking speaks of that kind of motion. It implies progress. You can't keep on walking and stay at the same spot. That is not walking. That is stepping. That is maybe, you know, if you are a cadet or if you are in the army or in the police force, you are only stepping. And we need to recognize that to receive Christ is instantaneous and to walk in Him is continuous. And we need to recognize that to receive Christ is a turning point and to walk in Him is a process, and to receive Christ is obtaining, and to walk in Christ is maintaining. And to receive Christ is believing. That is that instant moment you believe and accept Christ Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And to walk in Him is behaving. That's how you conduct yourself in the new life in Jesus Christ. To continue to live our lives in Christ means our whole lives must be lived in Christ's conscious presence at all times. Jesus Christ is all present. He lives in us. He is around us. He is in front of us. He's behind us. He's on our left, on our right. And so, what does continuous living our lives in Christ look like? The Apostle Paul mentions four aspects in verse 7. Rooted and built up in Christ, strengthened in the faith, and overflowing with thankfulness. And rooted speaks of the past when the Colossian Christians received Jesus Christ as their Lord. And it speaks of the present as their relationship with Christ deepens. A built up speaks of their growth in that relationship on the foundational convictions of Jesus Christ. The rooting and building up in Christ naturally lead to the strengthening in the faith. A strengthen speaks of the ongoing process in which the Colossian Christians stand firm on the fundamental teaching about Christ, stand firm on those fundamental doctrines of Christianity, not being swayed or deceived by the heresy that has infiltrated their church. And the outcome of all this, rooting, building up, and strengthening in Jesus Christ, is the overflowing with thankfulness for what God has done for them through Jesus Christ. All these four elements are crucial for living a new life in Christ to the full. Now, allow me to talk a bit about rooted in Christ. The Apostle Paul may have had in mind the picture depicted in Psalm chapter 1. In chapter 1, where the psalmist likens a righteous man to that of a tree planted by streams of water. And for a tree to grow large, it needs to have roots grow deep and wide into the ground in order to tap into the resources it needs to grow and to remain vibrant and fruitful. And with trees, the general rule is that the invisible spread of its roots is 2 to 4 times the diameter of its visible crown. That is the top green part of a tree. And the deeper and more spread out the roots are, the greater shade, fruit, and beauty it will provide. The same goes for Christian living. We need to be rooted deep and wide into the soil of Jesus Christ. We achieve this by means of a regular personal devotional life. That is prayer, Bible study, and meditation on the Word of God. It's a pursuit of deeper fellowship with God. It's a pursuit of better understanding of the Word of God. It's a pursuit of holiness in Jesus Christ. Now, on the other hand, when we talk about this, we need to really ask God to help us to keep this daily exercise so that we can really keep up, so that we can grow deep and wide in Jesus Christ. I became a Christian in grade 6 in Hong Kong. I was a social Christian in the first few years. On the one hand, I was too young to understand the full meaning of living my new life in Jesus Christ. On the other hand, I lacked the discipline to develop a vigorous daily devotional life. But all this changed. When I finished high school in Hong Kong, I went to university in Edmonton. And my Christian life started to grow in leaps and bounds. And the local church that I joined, the Edmonton Chinese Alliance Church, had a wonderful university student ministry. It provided nurturing, training, and ministry opportunities for me to grow. Through it all, I came to appreciate the full meaning of living my new life in Christ. It was during those years that God called me into full-time pastoral work. Now, without question, the most important thing in our lives is being rooted deeply in Christ. The deeper we go, the stronger our faith gets. The wider we spread ourselves into Christ and into His Word, the more steadfast we become to withstand all of life's ups and downs, all the challenges, all the obstacles, and the greater comfort, help, and mercy we can provide and extend to people around us, not only to fellow Christians, but also to non-Christians. Now, nothing else can do that for us. Nothing, not our education, not our jobs, not our money, nothing gives us the strong foundation we need except Christ Himself. Without a strong foundation, we may not be able to live the abundant life that Jesus Christ has promised you and me. Without a firm foundation, we will not be able to withstand life's up and downs. We may be discouraged or we may give up very easily in the face of obstacles and challenges. Without a strong foundation, we may not be able to serve God with the full potential that He has given to each of us through the working of the Holy Spirit. And yet, now we have all this head knowledge, don't we? And yet, we resist sinking our roots deep in Christ, don't we? It seems like there's always something standing in the way. There is a strict deadline, whether it is schoolwork, whether it is work at in the office. There is always that strict deadline approaching that requires more of our time. Some other important matters that needs to be addressed. Our friends may be having fun and we are left behind, we are left out, and we don't want that. We want to join them. Honestly, there's always something taking priority over our prayer life, our Bible study life, our meditation life. Speaking of knowing the Bible, I often hear my Caucasian colleagues say, millennial Christians have piecemeal knowledge of Scripture. They lack a comprehensive understanding of the Bible. They may know passages here, there, left, right, but not the center. And this affects how they live their lives. And this affects how they conduct themselves as Christians. I just wonder if that kind of comment is true about you here at Pacific Grace MB. Now, besides busy schedules and hectic lifestyle, there's constant worry about life. For example, stressful financial situations. The living standard in Canada or in Vancouver is very high, isn't it? How can we make ends meet? Or we are dealing with a broken relationship, or we are dealing with health issues. Those are the kind of things that can rock our world and that can throw our lives off balance. When no relief is in sight, you know, it's not that we don't pray, it's not that we don't talk to our pastor, it's not that we don't study the Bible, but somehow, when we don't seem to get answers, when it seems that no relief is in sight, we are tempted to extend our roots in other directions, other than staying with God, other than staying in the teaching of the Bible, other than staying with the community of Christians. And we tend to extend our roots in other directions to accommodate the latest challenge. Well, if church doesn't work, I'll find another way. If Pastor Bill doesn't help me, I find another way. We sometimes think we can go it alone, but we cannot. We need Jesus Christ. Now, if rooted in Christ is the invisible part of our Christian life, then built up in Christ is the visible part of it. Now, build up speaks of erecting a structure. Just as a tree needs a strong root to stand firm, so a structure needs a strong foundation to stand upright. A built up in the original language signifies the action continues. It's never ending. And so, my brothers and sisters, what kind of building are you doing today? What kind of life are you building up today, even at this moment? What kind of Christian life are we building for all to see? The Apostle Peter has given us an excellent blueprint in 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm sure you are familiar with this. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, this will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Peter's list doesn't reflect a legalistic code, but rather the desires and features of a transformed life. It is not like, oh, when I got A, I will move on to B. When I got to B, I move on to C. It's not like that. It is really about a person's life deeply rooted and widely rooted in Christ Jesus. Because of that kind of new life, because of that kind of transformed life, you have that desire. You have that desire to really grow more and more like Christ. And Peter's exhortation is grounded in the divine power and promises that were given to you and to me when we first became Christians, as when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Now, experience tells us that God uses everything that happens in our lives to shape and mold us. He sometimes demolishes, and then he builds up one brick at a time. It's an ongoing process. Now, how has God been working in the building project of your life? Is he demolishing something? Or is he building up something? Now, my brothers and sisters, if you work with God, I can guarantee you, not really I, but really God, can guarantee you, you can be assured that the building of your life is going to be grand for all to see, to glorify God. The building of your life is going to be magnificent, greatly used by God to even further his gospel, to further his kingdom in this part of Vancouver. Now, the Apostle Paul commands the Colossians, continue to live your lives in Christ. Now, what is the goal of living our lives in Christ? What's it like? What is the end product like? Now, we get some idea from Paul's prayer from Colossians chapter 1. He prays for the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 10. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Now, growing in the knowledge of God refers to not only intellectual, but also intimate knowledge about God. It implies a personal, close relationship, like a married couple who knows each other intimately. Now, the Colossians are to deepen their convictions about Christ and strengthen their relationship with Jesus Christ. By doing so, they be able to stand firm and combat the false teaching that is in their midst. As for bearing fruit in every good work, we know that fruit is the manifestation of life. The quality of life determines the quality of the fruit. There is no shortcut. You cannot make it grow suddenly, you know, from bad to good. You can't do that. There's no shortcut to attain this quality of life. It requires regular prayer, Bible study, meditation, and participation in ministry. Jesus said, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Now, to me, this teaching of Jesus Christ speaks of personal witnessing for Christ. You know, this kind of witnessing is crucial more than ever before. Nowadays, Christians are often criticized for failing to practice what they preach. Now, my cousin and her husband visited me from Hong Kong last year. Prior to their visit, Eva, my wife, sitting at the front here, we pray to God that we would be able to share the gospel with them because they are not Christians. Thank God for answering our prayers. We have plenty of opportunities to share and discuss topics about Christianity with them. And in one of the conversations, they told us why they did not want to believe in Jesus Christ. They said, well, when we look at our Christian friends in Hong Kong, when we look at how they live, how they behave, not only in private, but also in public, why would I want to believe a God like that? Why would I want to believe a Savior like that? And, you know, actions speak louder than words. While proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ is important, living out our new life in Christ is equally important. We need to talk the talk and walk the walk. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Pacific Grace MB, how's your new life in Christ at this moment? Is it vibrant or sluggish? Are you living it to the full? Not because your new life in Christ has been smooth sailing, but because apart from smooth sailing, your new life in Christ has been full of challenges and obstacles, and your Lord and Savior Christ Jesus has been able to help you to overcome them all. And you got to know Christ because of those challenges. You got to know Christ more deeply because of those obstacles. Now, don't let challenges and obstacles discourage you. Let Jesus Christ deal with these things with you. And that's why He's our Savior and Lord. That's why He chooses to live in our lives through the Holy Spirit. Now, what has Christ been demolishing or building up recently in your life? Remember, He's not only your Savior, but also your Lord. And we need to continue. We need to continue to live our lives in Him. We need to continue to walk with Him. We need to continue to acknowledge Him, not only as our Savior, but our Lord every day. And let us be true followers. Let us be truly functioning followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, whether you have been a Christian for a long time or for a short time, this is what Christ demands of you. This is what Christ expects of you, especially in this day and age living in Vancouver, especially when we are facing so many social issues that impact our life in Christ, that challenges our faith in Christ. If we don't have a deep-rooted life in Christ, if we don't have this beautiful building project that allows Christ to build us up and to shape and mold us, I'm afraid we may collapse. We may give up. We may not be walking with Christ any longer. And so, let us heed the Apostle Paul's instruction in Colossians chapter 2 today. And so, in closing, I invite you to read it once again together with me. Okay? Think about the words and think about the message you just heard in the past 25 minutes. I promise you, you know, half an hour cut half. 15 minutes, but sorry, I went over time. But anyway, so let us read the instruction given to us by the Apostle Paul. So then, as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. God uphold you as you continue to follow Jesus Christ. Let Him be the Lord in your life, and you will really have a full taste, a wonderful taste of what living a full life in Christ is all about. God bless you.